The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for November is a book and a DVD. It's a Bible study on three major themes in Scripture: witness, mercy, life together. Now, the DVD features four instructional videos by Lutheran Church Missouri Synod President Matt Harrison. You can purchase Witness, Mercy, Life Together by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or you can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, Witness, Mercy, Life Together. I think in previous generations, they wouldn't have been so crass to draw this analogy, but we've heard it a lot. I'm sure you've heard this one. Whether it's baseball or football or any other sport, it comes down to this. You're on the field of life. You're the one who's out there executing the plays. Now, you've got the best coach that you could possibly have. He's the most knowledgeable about the game. He can anticipate everything, and he's going to guarantee that you will win. All you got to do is follow his direction. Listen to what he tells you in practice. He's even equipped you. He's given you the best of equipment and the best of facilities to get out there and win the game, and he's rooting for you all the way. When you run into a little snag, he's there to solve the problem. You can ask him any question, he'll answer it. There's Jesus on the sidelines, coaching you through life. Now, this analogy has actually found its way into the church in a real and tangible way. Now, it's not unusual at all for church growth gurus to talk about the coaching function of Jesus in our life. He's our life coach. He's our coach, and we're in there playing the game and grinding it out. Is there anything wrong with this analogy? Joining us to talk about, well, in this case, football and the Christian life, Pastor Chad Hoover. He's pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Kalaska, Michigan, and author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled, "Put Me In, Coach, I'm Ready to Live the Christian Life." Pastor Hoover, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd.
So is that how it works? We've got Jesus on the sidelines. He's equipped us. He's put us through our paces. He's prepared us, practiced us, and he's calling the plays. He's telling us exactly what to do, and we're in there playing, executing the plays, headed for the finish line, headed for the goalposts.
Well, there's a huge problem with that analogy. And the problem is we can't do it. Because not every football team is like the Green Bay Packers and is 9-0. And they lose at times. And unfortunately, with our lives and our works before God, he requires absolute perfection. So any sort of bad play, dropped pass, anything like that, it would disqualify us, and we would no longer be able to achieve our goal.
So you're saying that the first failure of that now kind of classic analogy between football and the Christian life is that analogy allows for mistakes, whereas in reality, God doesn't.
Correct. Yeah. In fact, I am a Packers fan, if I haven't made that clear already. But Vince Lombardi, who's the former coach of the Green Bay Packers, the one who brought him to the first two Super Bowls, had a quote. It said, "Winning is not a sometime thing. It's an all-the-time thing. You don't win once in a while. You don't do things right once in a while. You do them right all the time." And, for a coach to say that, that's very motivational. But oddly enough, God pretty much says the same thing. The problem is that really does boil down to the law. God is telling us that if we're going to achieve heaven through our works, that we've got to get it right all the time. It's not just a once-in-a-while thing. It's not just a do-your-best. It's a you're going to do it perfectly if you're going to earn the kingdom of heaven.
Okay,
and we can't do that.
That is going to sound very odd, even to many of our Christian listeners, who have become accustomed to the idea that God allows for mistakes, even penalties, for heaven's sakes. I mean, to use a different analogy, he grades on a curve. He can't demand perfection of us because we're not perfect, and he could never demand us to be something that we couldn't be.
Absolutely, and it's really it's difficult because we as sinful human beings always want to put the ball in our hands. We always want to be the ones who are in control, the ones who are striving, and the ones who are achieving. And the real difficulty of that is our sin. Our sin does not allow us to do that. It prevents us from living a life that is acceptable and pleasing to God. We can't do that on our own. And there is a difference, and this is where maybe some people might take this the wrong way. I mean, there is a difference between being a Christian, having that status before God of I am a Christian, and someone who's a non-Christian. There is a difference, because a non-Christian without faith in Christ, without the Holy Spirit working in them and sanctifying their works, can do nothing pleasing for God, nothing that is deemed to be a good work, nothing that is seen as acceptable. Christians, on the other hand, can, because of Christ and Christ alone, can do those things which are pleasing to God only because Christ has given us the forgiveness of sins, clothed us with his robe of righteousness, and that the Holy Spirit is continually sanctifying our works.
You also say that the classic football analogy, where God is coach, we're on the field running the plays, headed for the end zone, fails because we're not really in this as a team, are we?
What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, you liken it to, back to your Packers analogy,
okay,
to Aaron Rodgers trying to face the opposite team single-handedly.
Right, yeah. Well, absolutely. I mean, we as Christians, well, first of all, it is an individual thing as far as faith is individual, but we're also part of a community of believers. So oftentimes people will say, well, we're going to lean on our, kind of what you were making reference to, you know, the coach within our church who's going to help us along, the one who's going to support us. That's a good function for someone within the church to have as far as being a support system, for being someone who can be there to encourage in the Christian life. But unfortunately, even in those areas, we're not going to find salvation through it. We're only going to find salvation through Christ. And a community of believers that is knit together is the body of Christ and is in fellowship with one another only because we're in fellowship with Christ. So if we take Christ out of that picture, we don't have salvation without him.
I mean, if the analogy is about kind of progressing through moral achievement until you cross the line and get into the end zone of acceptability to God,
mm-hmm.
that is facing God with nothing but the deeds of the law, we really are in it completely alone. It's just God and us with an impossible standard set for us.
Right. And, you know, and as far as that idea of the law, you know, and the function of the law, you know, Paul says in Galatians, if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died for nothing. You know? So we need Christ and we need his sacrifice in order to cover our sins, in order to make up for them. If we don't have that, there's no way we can achieve it on our own or with the support system of the church. We need Christ.
Someone is going to say, okay, but isn't at least the fact that God is on the sidelines calling the plays, he's actually designed the plays. I mean, he's the best coach you could ever have in the Christian life. Isn't that at least something redeemable from the classic football Christian life analogy?
I mean, certainly God has a plan and a purpose for our lives, and certainly we as Christians have a desire to do as God would have us do. That's absolutely true. Unfortunately, as far as the whole football analogy goes, you know, something that I've done with the article that I submitted to Higher Things was I kind of just took us off the field. You know, we're, as far as players are concerned, we're not players on the field in the sense that we're the ones who are achieving salvation. That's the work of Christ, and that work has already been done. And then the question is, well, if we're not on the field, then what are we?
Well, so what are we? Are we spectators?
Exactly. Are we on the sidelines watching, like, go, not me in the game. What am I, you know, how am I going to achieve salvation this way? But no, what I said in the article was, it's almost as if we're the football. You know, the football is crucial to the game. I mean, it can't not be played without the football. So it's like we're the football. We're the one that everyone's fighting for. You know, if you look at the spiritual warfare that's going on around us, you know, we're the one who in this Christian life of ours doesn't always have it easy because we have sin attacking us, temptations everywhere, Satan seeking to devour us. But at the same time, we have now Christ who has come and rescued us and who will safely bring us to victory. And that ultimate victory will be the victory of heaven.
So we're the football.
In my analogy, yes. We're the football.
Then who's playing the game?
Well, the one who played the game and is Christ, ultimately. He is the one who achieves victory for us. So all of the warfare that's going on, you know, the spiritual warfare that's going on, we are involved in, and it affects us in our day-to-day lives. It's something that we are not immune to. But at the same time, we don't have this underlying fear of, I wonder if I'm going to get to heaven. I wonder if the right team is going to win, because the victory's already been won. Christ has already done that. He's already achieved victory for us. Right now, it's a matter of waiting for Christ to return.
The great thing about your retooling of that analogy is, as I think you alluded to before, the ball doesn't do anything to move itself up and down the field, does it?
No, it doesn't. But it's essential, and it's necessary. I mean, everything centers around the ball, but yet the ball doesn't do anything. Yeah.
When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about a reworked analogy of football in the Christian life. Pastor Chad Hoover is our guest. He's pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Kalkaska, Michigan, and he's author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled Put Me In, Coach, I'm Ready to Live the Christian Life. Our call-in number, live this Tuesday afternoon, 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org is our in-studio email address, or you can send us a tweet at issuesetc. How do many leaders of pop American Christianity misinterpret the Great Commission? I've written an article in the latest edition of the online Issues Etc. journal titled The Not-So-Great Commission, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Kelly Klagis details her journey from parachurch fellowships to confessional Lutheranism. The latest Issues Etc. journal, journal@issuesetc.org.
Imagine steadfastlutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub. Your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm, so check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
Proclaiming Christ, not the Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history.
Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, on why they support Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. is in the forefront of that movement. In the extension of the kingdom of God, the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demonstration that our Lord Jesus is not irrelevant to what's going on in the culture, that our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history, and Issues Etc. is in the forefront of that movement.
You can support this worldwide outreach by making a tax-deductible gift online, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin talking with Pastor Chad Hoover. He's retooled the old analogy of football in the Christian life. Instead of being the coach or the spectator or, worst of all, a player out on the field, we are the ball. Pastor Hoover, the ball doesn't have an easy time At least in regular old football, the ball sometimes ends up at the bottom of the dog pile.
Right.
The ball gets kicked around, thrown around, dropped. All sorts of things happen. Is there a connection there for you?
Absolutely, there is. And you know, I feel kind of funny talking about this a little bit because it started out as such kind of a silly little analogy for me as I was thinking about this. I'd actually written this as a sermon originally on Super Bowl Sunday last year, and I thought, well, I could rewrite that as an article. And it started out as just a silly little analogy for me that I thought would be cute for my sermon, and it turned into the whole sermon. I thought, oh, boy. But, yeah, absolutely, that does apply because the Christian life is not always an easy one. And sometimes it does feel like we're being manhandled like that football in a football game, you know, getting kicked or thrown or spiked or even thinking about getting it through, you know, the goalposts. You really got to kick that thing pretty hard. So sometimes we take quite a licking when we're Christians in the Christian life because we're not promised that we're going to have this life that's like the lap of luxury. There's struggle involved in the Christian life.
Paul has, it's not as though your idea is not without biblical precedent. He has a similar analogy that he employs. For him, the sport would have been a race or like a relay.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about pressing forward toward the goal, running this race, but then you realize, he says, I press toward for the goal for that which Christ has laid hold of me, almost like he's the baton in the race being passed forward and crossing the line in the hands of Christ. Talk about that, if you would.
Well, absolutely. I mean, as far as you know, living the Christian life, yes, we don't have the easiest of times, and there are struggles. But yet there's a peace and there's a comfort there because we know just that we are in the hands of Christ, that he has assured for us the victory and salvation, not because of how well we perform or how well we do at the end of the game or at the end of the day or at the end of our lives, but it's based upon him and it's based upon his absolute victory and it's based upon his perfect keeping of the law. It's based upon his sacrifice for us and upon his gift of salvation to us. So even in the midst of our struggles, we have peace because we know that as difficult as a life that we may have, or as difficult as the struggles are that we may face, or as hard as the law may come down upon us and crush us, we know that the gospel is bigger, better, and stronger, and it's going to rescue us every time.
So the outcome of this is like a Packers game this season. The outcome, the victory, is never in question.
Of course it's never in question if you're talking about the Packers. No. No. With Christ, you know, I mean, he's even more assured of winning the victory than the Packers are because he's already won the victory. It's already been deemed through the resurrection as being victorious. He has conquered death for us. And he has given us that gift of life. That is a for sure gift that we've been given.
You reference Hebrews 12, the famous passage about being surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Does that in any way fit into your reworked analogy?
Well, you know, I hadn't thought about that as far as being part of the analogy, but it certainly is part of the Christian life. I mean, as far as being part of the fellowship of the church, not just believers within our own congregations or even believers within our own communities, but believers with the whole church, the church triumphant as well as the church militant, that we are all one together, the body of Christ, and so we have communion and fellowship with one another in that way.
There are those who have gone before us who have been brought safely into the end zone. They rest in Christ awaiting the resurrection. Are they that cloud of witnesses who, among all the other things they rejoice in, they rejoice also in our ultimate victory in Christ Jesus?
Absolutely. And we say that you know, every week as we celebrate the Lord's Supper. We talk about those who are rejoicing with us in heaven as we gather around the altar of Christ and receive from him the strengthening of the faith and the forgiveness of sins that he won, that we are doing that collectively as the church. And, you know, in talking about those who have gone before us, and in fact, we were just in Bible class today, and one of our members had mentioned, too, you know, living the Christian life and how for some it's a struggle, and for some, you know, he goes, look, for me, not so bad. So I look at other people who have gone through some really tough struggles, and it's not that, it's encouraging to know that they faced struggles and that I face struggles, but we can get through this because of Christ. So there is the inspiration, I guess, that you could get from people who hold fast to the truth of Christ and continue to live the Christian life despite the many difficulties that they face. There is encouragement there.
It seems the biggest difference between your version of this analogy and the classical version is that your version takes the focus and puts it entirely upon Christ's work, whereas the other one is about our work.
Yes, yeah. And I think I again, that's a tough one for us to kind of step back from and allow to happen, because as sinful human beings, we always want to put ourselves into the position of achieving something or doing something, contributing something to our salvation. And, you know, in one area where this analogy does break down a bit is when we talk about our lives as Christians. And you were kind of talking about this earlier with God having the tools necessary for us to live a life that's pleasing to Him, though we are going to fail at times. As Christians, that's our desire. We want to do what's right. We see the law not only as a mirror which shows us our sin, but we see it also as a guide, something that tells us, hey, as someone who's a redeemed Christian, someone who is sanctified, someone who has a relationship with Christ, I want to do what is right. I don't want to fall into sin. I don't want to fail. I don't want to do these things. I know my salvation isn't dependent upon it, but I certainly don't want to do those things. I want to do what God would have me do. I want to be living a God-pleasing life.
And finally, then, with about a minute here before we close up, what does the final victory look like in Christ Jesus?
Well, the final victory is heaven. And the final victory is beyond anything we can compare in this life. It is eternal life with Him, where there is no death and there is no suffering, and where that will go on, and there's no end. It's like an ongoing victory party. We kind of get a little glimpse of that victory party every time we worship and celebrate the Lord's Supper. But when Christ comes again, or when we go to be with Him, that's ours in Christ. It's a gift that we've already been given, but yet we've yet to fully realize what that means.
Pastor Chad Hoover is pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Kalkaska, Michigan, and he's author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled "Put Me In, Coach, I'm Ready to Live the Christian Life." Pastor Hoover, thanks very much for being our guest.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Thanks to the congregation in Oak Park, Illinois, Christ Lutheran, where Pastor Robert Niehaus is pastor there. They're part of the Issues Etc. 300, especially at this time of the year when congregations are planning their budgets for the coming year. Many are. It's important that you keep this in mind. More than that, that you actually take some action. Go to your congregation, if they are not already a part of the Issues Etc. 300, and propose the idea. Maybe this year they'll tell you no. Next year, ask them again. Keep asking them, showing them, if you would, the one-page flyer that we have at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. It's right there. It'll tell you and your congregation everything you need to know about being part of the Issues Etc. 300, including Issues Etc. in your congregational budget to the tune of $1,000 or more. Sounds like a lot of money, but you spread it over a whole congregation and over a whole year, and it's very, very manageable, and we do benefit greatly. Issues Etc. benefits greatly from the congregational support that we have from the many congregations of the Issues Etc. 300. Again, our website, issuesetc.org. Click support, and you'll find that one-page flyer that you can use to ask your congregation to join the Issues Etc. 300. When we come back, it's hour two of Issues Etc. Many people, by default, view Christianity as a better system of do's and don'ts. Oh, sure, that religion over there has a system of do's and don'ts, but it's not quite right. And that religion over there, maybe they get a little closer to the perfect system of do's and don'ts. Christianity gets it right. All its do's are right and all its don'ts are wrong. And if you just do the do's and don't do the don'ts, then you're a Christian. What's wrong with that way of viewing Christianity? And what does the right way of viewing Christianity do with the do's and the don'ts? We'll talk about that with Pastor George Burghardt in Hour 2 of Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.